Hello.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going?
Hello.
We're here now, boys and girls.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
What's new?
Nothing. Getting ready for C2E2.
Woo.
I'm making lasagna.
Are you? Lasagna.
When are you coming?
I got some bad news.
When aren't you coming?
Yeah, I got sick.
Oh,
no.
Well,
see you later. Good show.
Yeah.
Yep, good times.
Sorry, bud.
Stupid timing. I did make lasagna, though.
Looked like you were cooking up a storm.
It's a pretty big lasagna. I need to figure out now how to get some dry ice and ship it.
I don't want your dry ice lasagna.
Spooky lasagna.
Maybe I could dehydrate it and ship it.
That's good.
And then you could just reconstitute it and eat like an astronaut.
Just drop it into a bathtub.
Yeah. Bathtub lasagna. That's the best lasagna.
That's the only lasagna I eat.
Saves out on cleanup later. Turned out all right, though.
Oh, why are you really not coming?
No, I got sick, dude. I felt it coming on yesterday, and I woke up today, and I'm running a fever, and my head hurts, and sneezing a bunch, and coughing up colors
and
stuff.
Well, you'll start with the show. Come on down.
Well, see, that's the thing. I thought about coming anyway because I could just, like, play it off.
Oh, don't do that. That's why I got sick in Seattle, because somebody just went.
Yeah. Well, I figured I could play it off because everybody expects to get sick.
Sick in Seattle?
Everybody expects to get sick anyway, right? You know? But then I remembered that Mike's actually got other people than me staying there. So.
Not anymore.
What? Nobody is staying with you?
Well, one person now, because Burnham got a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, I could stay with Burnham and get him sick.
No. Not against that.
Say what?
I'm not against that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If I had a hotel room, that'd be different, too.
What do you mean?
Well, because, you know, I can minimize contact at a show with people, you know? Like, if I were staying by myself or something, then I could just be sick in the room, you know? And just make sure I carry a lot of hand bacterial or antibacterial stuff and, like, maybe get one of those face masks like the Japanese people wear all the time. Yeah. With the little bear smiley face on the front of it or something.
Like the Power Rangers?
Yeah, like that.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I don't know. I'm talking about Barbarian Brothers. Or Joey.
Just make it part of your cosplay.
So, welcome to week 652 of the Crankcast. 652. So last week I was talking about there was an auction my mom, I was bidding on for my mom to get a dulcimer.
Yeah. You don't sound sick.
See, I knew you were going to give me shit for this, dude.
You don't sound sick to me.
Okay, Dr. Norton.
And MD.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to see my sweats right now? I can show you a picture.
What you're wearing?
No, I'm fucking sweating because I'm running a fever, dude.
Cough.
Oh, somebody did that to me in Memphis when I was walking downtown once. This guy came up to me and his little kid, and he's like, "My kid's sick and he needs medicine." And he looks to the kid, and the kid looks at him, and the kid goes,
"How much did you give him?"
I didn't give him nothing. I laughed. I thought that was so funny. I started laughing, so it made me seem like even more of a jerk.
Yeah, little did you know that the kid died of pneumonia the next day.
Oh, well, maybe he did.
That's never done.
That well-timed pneumonia.
Well.
At-will pneumonia.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, it is.
So Houdini got at-will pneumonia.
He willed it upon him? Well, if somebody was going to will pneumonia on himself, it would have been Houdini. Because he had that power.
You mean they? You're talking about the band, right?
Houdini? No, that you're thinking Houdini with a W-H-O.
Right.
Yeah, that's a different Houdini. They don't really have, they're not, they don't have supernatural powers as much as they protect us against the supernatural.
Oh, right, right.
That's displayed in The Freaks Come Out at Night.
Yeah, they had a haunted house song too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Good time.
Houdini is a defender. They don't have power. They defend against power.
Wait, wasn't Houdini in Defenders of the Planet?
Yeah. It was Mandrake the Magician and then Houdini.
The entire band.
They counted all three of them. But everybody really only wanted to see the guy in the bolero hat.
Of course. What was I going to say? Oh, so I wound up winning that auction. Is what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
She got dulcimer.
So she got herself a Bill Taylor dulcimer, who he doesn't make dulcimers anymore.
That's cool.
I guess because he got Alzheimer's or something.
That's less cool.
Well, yeah.
That for real, or did he just make that up off the top of your head?
No, apparently he quit making dulcimers about a year or so ago because I guess it was getting too bad.
I guess because he got Alzheimer's or something, like you didn't know the answer.
Well, I had read one place that it was Alzheimer's, but they hadn't repeated it anywhere else, so I don't know if that's actually what it was.
Mm.
But the net effect is that the guy did quit making them, but he was supposedly a very, very good luthier, you know?
Luthier?
Yeah. So that showed up today, and I opened it up to check it out, just to make sure it got here okay. You know, it sounds real nice, super mellow. Pretty sweet instrument, man. My mom,
are the real what were we just talking about? Dulcimer? There's no shrill dulcimer, isn't it?
No.
Some of them sound like thinner and boxier if they're not made right, or if they're made out of like crappy material. Because like you can get those cheapo, you know, like mass-produced beginner type dulcimer things, or like kind of basically made out of one step above cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, they make noise and they don't sound like shrill, but they don't sound very good either. But this one's made out of like wild cherry or something like that.
Do you remember the dulcimer stomp by Arrowhead? Aerosmith?
No.
Yes.
That's where dulcimer sounds like.
Dulcimer.
Are you telling me what a dulcimer sounds like?
Yeah, I'm telling you what dulcimer sounds like.
I know what a dulcimer sounds like.
It sounds shrill. Well, how can that be shrill?
He's...
I mean, if you were...
Keep up with the conversation, son.
This is probably not...
Uh-huh. It's a real pretty color, too. It's old, too. It was made in, like, 96.
Dulcimer is just like a plank, right? It's just like a it's just a big empty, hollow tube, basically.
With strings?
Yeah.
Well,
strings are just
like,
they're sort
never
of
undecorated before.
Oh no, they're very ornate.
Some of them, I mean, some of them are real basic, like the sound holes are just cut into like heart shapes or something, you know. Some of them, this one's got hummingbirds and little tracery flower things on it and stuff.
Oh, that's nice. Mama's gonna love that.
Yeah. She's been wanting one of these for a while.
Ryan's pretending to be sick.
It's not fun to mock the ill.
Sick of begging and boring. Boring?
Boring?
Ryan, can you plug my Kickstarter?
Can I plug your Kickstarter?
Yeah, is that allowed?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have a Kickstarter going right now. And it's desperately close to the goal. And Yeah, it's pretty good. It's got comics in it, lettered by Crank. So, by Crank. It's good.
Maybe, depending on how sick he is, it may be the last book he lettered.
It might be the final book of his career.
Don't joke about that.
But it's a new God Hates Astronauts hardcover collection with lots of cool art from cool artists. And if you go to GodHatesAstronauts.com, you can link you straight to the Kickstarter, which is going right now.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the artists?
I got a lot of real good ones. I did a few drawings in it, a few pages. Paul Rivera and James Heron. Chris Burnham, Rob Hillary, Greg Smallwood, Xander Cannon, Ryan Lee, Joe Quinones,
Buster Moody,
and Robert Wilson. I think I named everyone. All did short stories in it. So the art is kind of incredible.
Sweet.
The
stuff I've had to work on looks really good.
Yeah, isn't it? Really awesome. Hopefully that thing will get funded so I can make the comic I want to make.
How much time's left on it?
27 days.
And how close are you to the goal?
About $1,200, I think.
All
right. Last I looked. But, it's trending in weird ways, and almost no one had bought it today. So, who knows? So...
are you going to have a preview of it at C2E2?
I will. Yeah, I printed up these preview books for the show. So, I don't know. It's pretty cool. Like every kind of Kickstarter thing, it's a big risk because most of the work on the book is already done. So and it'll get funded. But if it didn't, then. We'd be kind of in trouble a little bit, so far it's been pretty cool. It's an awesome way to, when you do a Kickstarter, you don't have to sell as many copies in order to get the money to make your book, versus if you did it through a publisher, it's still a ton of work, but it would be a ton of work if you did a book for a publisher, in terms of the amount of promotion you try to do as well.
Right.
So, I'm just trying this again and seeing how it's working, and so far so good. So,
just to clarify a point here, when you say it's a risk, you mean it's a risk to you, because usually when someone says risk, present it with Kickstarter.
Yeah, the risk is all on my end.
Right.
That's why I made sure the book was very close to being done while Kickstarter was running, so that the people backing it are just basically pre-ordering a book, and they're not taking any risk or very, very minimal risk. I could fall off the face of the earth. Anyone could, make a Kickstarter, but then I would be blacklisted from everything for the rest of my life. So that's why I try to get the whole book as close to being done as possible, so that the risk is on me. Like, if the book didn't get funded, then I would be out a lot of money that I'm paying the creators for working on it. That's kind of it's an interesting model. I mean, I wanted to start kickstarting more books, but I started with a God Hates Astronauts book because it's been on Kickstarter before, and so it had an audience that was built in, and everyone's been really cool and jumped on it and backed it.
And you still had a list of all the backers from the last one, so.
Yeah, and that was really great, especially in the first hour to 2 hours, just seeing all the names of people that had bought my stuff before coming back to, buy it again, and, all my Kickstarters, previously, I have tried to fill as fast as possible and send the book to press after the Kickstarter ends and I get the money, so that when I do another Kickstarter, people will, not have bad memories of the last one. So, I don't know. The book's on track for all of that, so should be sent to press very shortly after Kickstarter ends, if I do end up making this final $1,200. So.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Go check it out.
Thanks for letting me talk about my Kickstarter.
No problem. It's Kickstarter Minute.
Baseball has started, but I don't really have anything to say about that.
Huh.
It's snowing, and there's baseball.
Yeah, it's snowing, and there's baseball. So they started the season early this year so that they could build in all these off days. So for all the rainouts and canceled games, and games are just being canceled left, right, and center. And it's annoying. So that's it. That's my baseball minute.
I saw an article recently that was talking about, let's see, oh, here it is. The title is The Tricky Ethics of the NFL's New Open Data Policy.
Oh.
And apparently they have RFID chips in their shoulder pads now.
What?
Yeah. And they record, like, you know, movement and, I guess, all the, just the, what do you call that?
They call it stats?
Yeah, but the that word for data that, you know, gives you
metrics.
Yes, right. But I guess this stuff's open to the public. It looks like
that's how it is in baseball. Baseball is the first pioneer of this kind of stuff. They call it StatCast, and you know, all the sensors they have in the ballpark can tell you how fast people are running, how hard they're hitting the ball, how fast they're throwing the ball. Lots of weird things like tracking their exact motion so they can tell if they took the correct route running to catch a fly ball, like the most efficient route. It's really interesting stuff, and it's slightly breaking the game because typically people are then totally changing the way that they play the game to optimize the results. So, you know, this is why there's this crazy, last year there are more home runs in baseball than ever, because people have figured out the exact angle that you need to train yourself to swing your bat to hit for optimal hitting home runs. And so now everyone is swinging up in this way. But anyways, football.
Weird that they didn't figure that out before.
Yeah, well, people are freaking out a lot more. A ton more. And when you swing at an angle upwards, it is like it's hard to hit a ball that's low.
No, maybe
there's puts a lot of holes in your swing, so people are striking out a lot more. But when they make contact, a lot of times when it would have been just a fly ball out, it's becoming a home run. So like the guys that normally hit a ton of home runs are hitting the same amount of home runs. But the guys that usually fly out on the warning track a lot, like four or five more of those are going over the wall, and thus home runs are up.
Does it average out for the strikeouts, though? So it's like,
I mean, the strikeouts are insane. Well, it makes baseball games really boring.
Yeah, so it's either you got a home run
or
you're striking out all the time.
Right, so balls aren't being put into play. You know, and that's it's kind of breaking the sport.
Yeah, it's like a lot fly ball is the only other thing that's exciting about that. It's like balls flying into the crowd, and you don't get that.
Yeah, yeah. So the home run has become devalued, and it is really weird. And so now teams are starting to the Astros have already done it this year, use a four-person outfield. So they take one of their infielders, and they just put them in the outfield because guys are all trying to hit balls in the air anyways. And ground ball outs are going way, way, way down. So the value of like a good second baseman or shortstop is going way, way down. It's very strange. The sport is being broken rapidly because of this.
So many balls in the air.
It's a lot of balls in the air.
It just seems to me, it seems like all this crap's like taking all the weird, like, I mean, that mysterious human kind of magic thing that goes on with sports, you know, where somebody can just like all of a sudden have a good career when they had a bad career because they pulled something out of their ass or something, you know? Like when you see a player, like, dig in, you know?
Really got pretty good, which was very unexpected. And then those players who became free agents
they didn't turn those good years into big money because it was like, well, they're 29 years old and all of a sudden they quadrupled their home run like high for a single year last year. And it doesn't seem to be sustainable. And also, now everyone's hitting home runs, so the value of a person that just hits a bunch of home runs is not as high as it used to be.
Yeah. So, that was a Ryan baseball minute.
Yeah, that's my baseball 10 minutes. Did you see how much more passion I talked about that than my Kickstarter?
Well, and you seemed a lot more sure of what you were talking about than with your Kickstarter.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Huh. You didn't need hardly any prodding from me in that.
Yeah, that's because all I do is listen to baseball podcasts and I have no one to talk to about it. So I still probably just talk to no one about it, but at least I got to say words out loud.
Right. Well, it's good to have some sort of human interaction. You're around other people while you're talking, whether they're listening or not.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll revisit that again next week.
Just wait. It's gonna be great.
There's something else I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Last week when I was talking about like how I, you know, we were talking about like working in negatives and the thought process behind that and that. I had gotten this book by a guy named Max Ernst. He was like a surrealist from the 30s, I think. Mm-hmm. And this book's all collage stuff. It's like weird. It's called like a week of something or another. It's in French. But I mean, it's all just pictures. It's not like a story. But so I'm looking at this stuff and I'm trying to like, for one thing, I guess due to the printing processes and stuff back then, by the time he actually got the collages done and then reproduced them to make a pamphlet, it's really hard to tell where any of the cuts are or anything, you know. So this stuff looks pretty seamless, and it's really cool. But I'm still trying to figure out, like, I've got questions, you know.
I think he's dead.
Probably by now, I'd imagine.
You can't ask him.
Like, one of the questions, aside from, like, process stuff, like, once I started knowing what to look for, I noticed that he was blanking out, like, the original artist's names on the piece, whatever the main body of the piece was. And I was wondering, like, you know, because where does that stand, like, from a moral stance, you know, like obliterating somebody else's credit for the art they did? Just because you're adding to it doesn't mean that the base of that wasn't still their art, you know?
My head is not into this argument right now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can keep talking.
Well, it was just, that was something I was thinking when I was looking at it, because I was like, I mean,
you should just make t-shirts of it.
Yeah, I don't, like, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not even talking about like a legal sense, but I'm just saying from the standpoint of, yeah, you're creating a new thing, but you're basing it off of like other people's work. Shouldn't you at least credit what you're taking?
Was there like an index or anything that talks about like the original photos or whatnot?
No, in fact, in the preface. Anyway, they were talking about how they, you know, later on they had to figure out where he got the stuff. People were kind of dissecting the work and trying to find books and periodicals of the time to figure out where the stuff came from. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing he didn't credit it, like, in any way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the argument for pop art in general. Like, do you need to credit photographers and models for their contribution to the art that you then create from it?
Right, and I mean, at least acknowledge that it came from something, right? It just seems like I don't know. It's like, I mean, when you cite sources in an article, you have to have like a bibliography, right? Yeah. I guess you don't have to, but most times you do. Like, that's just.
That's the nice thing to do, but that's not what a lot of artists do.
And I'm sure like there was a different mindset back then. Anyway.
Isn't that the whole thing?
I'm not sure it's changed any.
Isn't that the whole thing with Liechtenstein?
Yes.
Just that he was making, like, so much money off of these paintings that were just basically copies of comic panels.
Mm-hmm.
With no credit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's, you know, that stuff aside, it's, like, an interesting body of work, though. Very strange, and a lot of weird people with dragon heads and bird heads, and a lot of naked bodies and murder and mayhem. It's set up in, like, over the course of each part of it's a day of the week kind of thing, and then they each have themes. So, like, there's a one that's themed with water. And so there's, like, a lot of people drowning and stuff like that, you know? But, yeah. Oh, and that was the other reason that I was tying it into what we were talking about last week, too, is that because of the type of artwork it is, it's all that, you know, block cut kind of, gravure? That where, you know, where you tone everything with lines?
What did you say?
I don't remember what that's called.
Matching?
Is that okay? Sure. Where, yeah, I mean, everything's done with like lines, and your lights and darks are determined by how thick and close together the lines are.
Yeah, cross section and hatching.
Right. So it's like, I was thinking about that because, again, that goes back to like if you're working on that as a trying to make a print, you're essentially like working in negative, you know, because you have to carve out the light stuff. And I don't really quite know. My brain doesn't work that way, you know, when it works at all. But yeah, Max Ernst. Go check that out. It's pretty cool stuff.
Right on.
All right. What else is new? Yeah.
I don't know. My brain's on
C2E2
at the moment.
Yeah. I saw some article this morning where they've got plans to have attendance break 100,000 by like 2020 or something like that. What's their attendance at now?
It goes up every year, but it's in such a large hall now that it doesn't feel nearly as crazy as their other Reed shows.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, because at this point, I've never been, but from what I've seen people saying that, I mean, the New York shows, that hall is way too small for the amount of people, right?
Yeah, that's not a fun experience.
I remember hearing a couple of years ago, I guess, that they booked that section of McCormick Place, like for, they booked it in advance for like 5-6 years or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're kind of, seems like they're pretty committed to keeping that show growing and getting bigger.
Yeah. This year, most major publishers are going, which hasn't been the case in the past. So Image will be there, DC, Marvel, and then Dark Horse, Boom. So that's probably positive in the right direction for them.
Yeah.
I remember last year, Sunday, like as the show was closing, it was still so crazy on the floor. There were still so many people like walking around shopping. I thought maybe it would be a 4-day show this year, but I guess not. I don't know how they determined that.
That's kind of unusual for a Sunday, isn't it? To be that busy at closing?
Pretty wild. Because I usually try to get away from my table for the last hour of a show on Sunday to go shop or look at things.
Yeah.
Visit Arts Alley, and it was still pretty dense.
I remember walking around last year on Saturday and thinking that it just seemed a lot busier than it had last time I was there. But I had missed a year, so, I mean, I guess that's, you know, that's to be expected if the show's still picking up steam.
And you will again.
Yeah, by the time I get there next time.
You got much bigger it's going to look next year.
Yeah, I won't even be able to walk around. I'll just be...
The celebrity guest list is very strange this year. It's a lot of people from things that I don't know what they are. So I assume they're, like, YouTube shows or Twitch things or But it's not your regular dose of TV celebrities and wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
So
the wrestling gravy train couldn't last forever.
Yeah, I guess that's the direction they're heading in.
I'm trying to remember who I even saw on the, you know, because I sent out tons, like a big, you know, giant email campaign for months and months ahead of time. And it seemed like every other day they were announcing somebody new. But I can't recall who all is even supposed to be there. So, yeah.
Frank, forget my boy.
Say what?
See
you later. Say what?
Nothing.
Goodbye?
Yeah.
Goodbye. Well, all right then.
Did Crunch just leave? The show over?
No, yeah. I thought somebody else just left.
I'm leaving.
Josh Evans is leaving.
Oh, bye, Josh.
We will miss you this weekend.
I will be missing everyone. There's some, So... Do you remember me going on and on about a Bats Maru base a bunch of years ago?
Yes.
And then I finally got one, right? And I kind of didn't play it for a long time because I got it and I was like, okay, that's cool, I got it. Yeah. But I decided to pull it out the other day because I was thinking about short scale bases because they're a lot easier to play. You know, they look a little funny because being short scale and that they still usually have like a normal base size headstock on them to accommodate the tuning keys and all that.
Yeah.
So they kind of look a little funny, but this Bats Maru base is based on the Fender Bronco, like body style, Mustang Bronco, and that. So it's got those like kind of truncated horns and slimmer body to it. And anyway, I decided to pull it out the other day and mess around with it, and I ran it through this Marshall distortion pedal that I got. And when I roll the tone way back, it sounds, this thing's so freaking loud, like the pickups, because I changed the pickups after I got it and put in some really hot ones. And it just drives this pedal so hard that it sounds like a bass synthesizer. It's just got this real, like, and like fuzzy, deep, you know, a lot of sustain, kind of like. It's surprising how good this thing sounds for being just a really low end bass, you know. But, and, you know, it's cool because the pickguard looks like Bats Maru's head. It's actually cut out and shaped like that, you know. I like it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that.
It's fun. Do you know fun?
I used to.
What's wrong, Mike?
You ruined that guitar, right? That's just the sound that you like. That's nobody else would play that bass anymore, right?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe somebody from Mammoth or something. No, I mean, it can still get clean tones. I'm just, the way I'm driving, it's just super heavy, you know?
You've always liked that sound anyway. You don't like a clean bass.
I mean, it depends. If I were playing, like, something really mellow, smooth jazz, maybe?
Like a dulcimer?
Yes, if I were playing bass with a dulcimer, then I'd probably want it a lot more clean. I don't. The problem is, I don't think a lot of clean bass sounds have much character to them. The notes are so low most of the time that unless you've got like that really, like that pop from a brand new pair of round wounds or something, you know. Then they just kind of sound like a bunch of low notes. They just don't, you know, they don't sound like much. They fill in the spectrum and do what they're supposed to do, but they just don't sound like much to me. It's not until you get into the, like, slightly running it through an amp that's slightly overdriven or gesundheit, or, you know, pumping it through a pedal or clanking it a little bit by hitting the frets or doing something to it that it actually picks up its own character as opposed to just being a placeholder for a spot in the sonic spectrum, you know?
A spot in the sonic spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, like, even listening to what you might think are clean basses, like, go back to old, like, honky-tonk or country kind of stuff. like even those basses, they may not have been growly and distorted, but they were still like they weren't just the smooth, clean basses either. They were running amps hot and they were really pumping up the mid range and giving it that sort of a honk to it, you know, that bump 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 type of bump bump bump. Trying to, I guess,
get I'm going to need you to do that a couple more times.
Yeah, a couple more times?
No, I'm done. Thank you. But, yeah, I don't know. Clean basses for starting out when you don't know what you want your sound to be. I guess. Have I talked too much about bass now?
I think you're in the minority on that because I hear the clean sound much more often than I hear the fuzzy sound.
All right.
Yeah, well,
is that wrong?
Well, I don't. I mean, maybe there's a bit of confusion about what we're describing as being clean.
Because
even in a lot of the pop music I hear, there's still like drive to the bass and stuff. It's not just a clean. Like smooth jazz bass or something, you know? I mean, you hear somebody like picking aggressively and that brings out the overtones and the windings or, you know, they're slapping, which, yeah, the tone may be clean, but slapping imparts its own sort of growl, you know? So we might just be having a misunderstanding of terminology.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. When was the last time you played your bass?
Years.
Been a while?
More than a while.
It's probably pretty lonely.
I'm not going to play it. You can have it if you want.
Why are you always trying to give away your bass?
You sounded like that's what you wanted.
No, I want you to play it, that's all. I know, you don't have time and the interest just isn't there anymore. But, you know, I figure maybe if I bug you every now and then, maybe it'll spark your interest. Because then we could be bass buddies.
No, I want to be a bass buddy. Bass buddy.
Bass buddy.
Yeah.
Bass buddy.
Crankcast would just be you two just playing bass back and forth at each other.
Yeah. Hey, how you like this lick?
I've always hated that word.
He was licking me.
What, lick?
Yeah, I hate that.
Why?
I don't know why. Ever since I was a kid, and somebody's like, I'm going to teach you these licks. And I was like, please don't say that.
I'll be honest, I don't even know why they're called licks.
No, that's right. Nobody does. It's just weird.
It's just I use it because that's what I was taught to use when I was talking about things.
Yeah, because that's what they say.
Right.
Didn't like the word gig either. I was like, why do they say gig?
I don't know why a gig's called a gig, because an actual gig's a hooked pole that you use to, like, you know, pick things out of the water with, like frogs and stuff. And so I don't know why a gig is called, like a performance thing is called a gig. I don't mind that, though.
It's also a light two-wheeled carriage pulled by one horse.
Oh. Well, there you go.
So maybe it's because you traveled in a gig to a gig?
Could be.
Is that old a word?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't know that a pick was also called a plectrum until I was in my 30s.
That I did know.
Although I should have known it because it was in rock school. It was in rock school, which I watched back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Being British, they said plectrum.
Yeah, for some reason. They wouldn't say that now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, gig has a lot of weird meaning.
Giggity, giggity, gig.
Like what?
Something that whirls or is whirled.
Oh, like a whirly gig. Yeah.
A three-digit selection in a numbers game.
Huh.
Giggity gig.
A person of odd or grotesque appearance.
So crank is a gig.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
A long, light ship's boat. A rowboat designed for speed rather than for work.
I think I have heard that used before, or at least read it.
Man.
And I knew it was a hooked pole.
Yeah, pronged spear for catching fish.
Or frogs in Frank's case.
Well, yeah.
Or an arrangement of hooks to be drawn through a school of fish in order to hook their bodies.
Huh.
Or frogs in Frank's case.
Yeah.
And then you can also use as a verb to spur, jab, goad, or provoke. I'm going to gig ya.
Going to gig my oxen up to a faster speed. Because, you know, I use oxen instead of horses. Or frogs.
Or frogs.
Well, there you go. So many uses for those. You know, I mean, the English language is not exactly the easiest one to parse, you know?
Entomology minute.
We've got etymology. Sorry.
Etymology. Well, talk about a bug.
Yes. Let's talk about bugs.
No.
Let's talk about B-U-G. Let's talk about... We won't do that.
This is one of those moments where I want you to put the real song in the background. You can make up for being sick and not coming by doing that.
Yeah. If I remember.
You won't even do it. I know you.
I don't even... What's the name of that song?
Let's talk about sex.
Really?
No, I don't remember what the... I don't remember who did it or what... I just remember the song.
Salt and Pepper.
Is that Salt and Pepper? Huh. Is it called Let's Talk?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, thanks.
That wasn't even planned. That was just his ringtone.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
If you say so. What do you need to know?
What's it like?
That's funny.
How would you describe it? I've heard the French describe it as the small death.
Hmm.
Or the little bad, or something like that.
A little bad?
It's about 16 sneezes.
You don't know any French people.
No, I don't think I do know any French people.
That's what I said.
I'm trying to think. I think I've met French people.
You've hit French people?
No. No, I've met French people.
Oh. You just said you hit French people.
Oh, why would I hit French people?
I don't know. That was going to be my second question.
Because of those damn baguettes.
Nobody hates baguettes.
What the hell's a baguette?
It's a piece of bread. It's delicious. A loaf of bread, you freak.
It's like a long
Why don't they just call it a loaf of bread?
You've consumed millions of them.
Why is it called a baguette?
Because you put it in a bag, dude.
Back to dictionary.com.
So if it's a baguette, does that mean there's a bigger thing that's just called a bag?
Well, that's actually... yeah, that's actually an okay question.
I mean, the et's usually used to denote a smaller thing, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So they've got like giant loaves of bread.
Oh. It comes down from Latin baculum for staff. So it's a staff of bread.
Huh. I mean, between...
You're saying it goes in
a bag. I love how educational.
Right, that was becoming... good.
What's with all those?
I would like one staff of bread, please.
Un staff. Scott Bakula?
Hmm?
Baculum. Italian bacio to Italian bruschetto.
Bruschetta.
To French baguette.
Oh. All those Latin-based languages.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Well, now we know.
Good job.
What were we talking about? French people? Why were we talking about French people?
Because you talk about how much you want to hit them.
Oh, with the baguettes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what baguettes are for, really, is right? I mean, it's just for hitting people.
Yeah.
You can eat it and defend yourself.
You can eat it, but you do feel the need to slap somebody with it when you're holding one, don't you?
Yeah. I guess you can make good sandwiches with it, too. Now, question, if you use a baguette, because, I mean, they're pretty thick, right? Aren't they, usually? Well, not that thick. But if you're going to make a sandwich, do you just straight cut the baguette in half, or do you kind of hollow it out to get rid of some of the...
There are no rules.
And if you hollow it out, what do you do with the extra bread stuff?
You eat it.
Put it in soup.
Put it in soup or you eat it. Either way, you eat it.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone hollow out a baguette.
I guess you could make it like a bread straw.
Like, yeah, you could stuff sandwich, like make a stuffed sandwich or something, you know? With a baguette.
What is a stuffed sandwich?
It's a sandwich that's all one piece, not slices. And you put stuff in it and stuff it instead of... Kind of like a hero pocket or whatever.
Right? A hero pocket?
Not a hero pocket. I'm thinking of that Greek, you know, they cut them in half and then slice them and you stuff things in it.
Pita?
Yeah, sure.
A
yeah.
Mm-hmm. A euro?
That's a euro, right? That's a hero pocket.
A euro. A hero is...
There's no H sound in that at all.
Oh, fine. A euro.
A hero is a sub. Yeah, a hero is a sub. Or a grinder.
Euro. Hero. Whatever. O-A. A-O. Anyway, so we've got baguettes.
I'm losing feeling in my hands.
Try a wrist brace. If nothing else, maybe it'll at least pad your places where you're putting pressure on them, causing them to lose feeling. I guess maybe if you wore a bunch of sweatbands, you might get the same effect. And now I'm just picturing Mike looking like, what was that big guy from Revenge of the Nerds?
Ogre?
Ogre, yeah. Like he always had the big sweatbands on and shit.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Do that.
No.
And just, like, randomly shout USA every now and then.
Don't think he ever did that in that movie.
I'm sure he did it.
He pretty much exclusively said nerds. It was pretty much his only line in that movie.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he wore sweatbands other than in that movie, too.
Also, he says, I know, when the guy says, why is everybody eating these pies? And he goes, I know, and he shows him the pie.
Why was everybody eating those pies?
Because there was a picture of a naked lady at the bottom of it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right, then. A couple of weeks ago, a month or two ago, I went to the thrift store, and I was just looking through their CDs, and somebody must have got rid of, like, you know, all their 90s alternative stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
I was finding just all kinds of stuff left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was there was a band, I remembered the name, but I couldn't remember what they sounded like. And they were called Dead Eye Dick.
Yes. Jenny Said? Is that the song?
No, it was the Mary Moon song.
Mary Moon.
It was called, the song's called New Age Girl, but I read about it later. I remember hearing it on alternative radio back in the 90s. And I guess it took off because they had it on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a Louisianian band. That doesn't sound right. Anyway, band from Louisiana. And that song kind of like kickstarted them. They were never on like a major label or anything though. And they put out a couple more albums, but they never had a hit again. But so I was listening to the CD, and the CD is surprisingly not bad. It reminds me of, like those 80s funny bands, like the Dog Police song and stuff, you know?
Yeah?
It's that weird kind of like.
Never talk about that.
Like that sort of an intelligent, humorous.
Too much joy.
Like that intelligent, humorous kind of, you know, quirky music.
Yeah.
They remind me a lot of a band from around here called the Bears, who are also called the Raisins.
Mm. Bear Raisins?
Yeah. With a little bit of, like, New Monkees mixed in.
Oh, gross.
Oh, New Monkees were all right.
No.
I mean, the TV show was terrible, but the music wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was.
But, yeah, so Dead Eye Dick, if you happen to find that cheap, like, at a thrift store or something. Or, you know, look them up on YouTube, but I think you're only going to find the one song, the Mary Moon song. But, there. I had a music minute. So, do we have an email?
I haven't looked.
Okay. Sometime over the last year, Amazon changed their pantry.
So strange.
Well, they changed how it worked. Because it used to be, you'd get discounts on all the things that were in the pantry section. And then they would ship whatever would fill up a box for $5, you know?
Well, because they bought Whole Foods.
Is that why it changed?
Probably. Huh. A lot of the stuff is now shipping from local Whole Foods.
Oh. Because, yeah, they got rid of that model and went to something different slightly. Or something. I don't...
They went to grocery delivery service now. Yeah. Versus, like, stuff in boxes and if you fill up a box and all that. So they've got access to all of the Whole Foods brand products.
Huh.
It's weird.
Well, that Jeff is it Bezos? Bezos? Bezos?
Bezos.
Bezos. Yeah. He's a pretty rich fella.
Yeah, he's good. He's good at that money making. He figured it out.
Yep. And back to you, Mike.
Captain Colin writes, ha 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 ha, burrito, ha 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 ha. Cheers, Captain Colin. Yes, Crank is wrong. Battlestar Galactica is great.
That's right. I'm glad he liked the burrito, though. I finished watching Battlestar Galactica, finally. Or, not finally, I was, you know, wasn't like it was taking forever or anything, but, man, that fourth season... is a confusing, confusing, confusing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave. But they, like, there was stuff. Is it possible to lose control of a writer's room and let multiple things come out at the same time?
It did feel like that.
Because it felt like. It didn't feel like they didn't know what they wanted to say. It felt like there were a bunch of different people saying different things, slightly different things, but trying to tell the same story.
Was that a show that got affected by the writer's strike?
They
took a long break. I remember that. I don't remember if
they
that
got affected by it being threatened to be canceled all the time because the episodes were had a million dollar budget.
It was very expensive.
Whoops.
That was the other thing that made season 3 and season 4 kind of odd to watch consecutively because they were trying out that X amount of episodes mid-season break and then come back X amount of episodes or whatever rather than like running it all. Or they were doing like half seasons, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well... So, I remember Lost got kind of involved
by that. It really changes the pacing of it when you're watching them all together. Because, like, you feel like halfway through the season, it just feels like it should end. Like, it's, because they're cliffhangering it or whatever. And then, you move right on to the next episode and it picks back up again while re-explaining a bunch of stuff. It was just really weird to watch it. And it completely... this is going to be spoiler stuff, I guess. I mean, it's been off the air for like 10 years, so if you haven't seen it by now, you know. But so the way it ends, I still don't really understand. I think this time around I finally figured out that the Baltar and the number 6 that we see are the ghosty ones that we were seeing all through the series. Because at first I thought they were actually – I think when I saw it the first time, I thought they were supposed to be the actual Baltar and 6, you know. And then this time around, I was like, oh, they're the mental ghosts that we kept seeing.
It basically implies that all of that made the rest of humanity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because they crash on New Earth or whatever they're calling it, and they, you know, interbreed with the natives, because there were already natives there, but I guess those must have been the Neanderthals or something.
Were there natives?
I don't remember.
There were natives. They just landed in colonies.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think there was
anything.
They killed dinosaurs, right?
I just watched it. They were natives. There were people. There were human-type people with spears and crap.
I know there's a really clumsy, awkward Ronald Moore cameo.
Where?
Like when they're showing, like in the final shot, he's like reading a newspaper or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like, so I didn't recognize him. But there.
Times Square. Yeah.
Now, one of the other things that really baffles me,
like,
though,
it starts the shot on him reading the newspaper. It's really strange.
One of the things that really confuses me was Starbucks' role in the last season.
Because
They don't ever. There's no explanation for it. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an angel.
But she was an angel that had a viper built for her and her clothes and everything. I mean, like, you know, who built the viper?
I thought it was just all implied that it was some weird, like, God plan thing.
So God just blinked a viper into existence? A brand new viper? Why wouldn't he?
Good?
Well, why wouldn't he blink the viper, like the viper that she had? Why did she have to die at all?
You don't think you can make a viper? You don't think he can make the best viper?
Were you not paying attention at Easter?
The fuck, man!
Oh, I forgot about the Easter celebration of the new best viper. Yeah.
He also made the dog viper. Let's not forget that. That's great.
And the show viper.
That wasn't God. That was Lee Iacocca. Okay.
Not God. Is his first name Lee Ia? Was less than Coca?
Yes. Actually, I don't know that it was Lee Iacocca that made the Dodge Viper, but. That's the only car name that came to mind. So. That was Henry Dodge that made the Dodge Viper. No, but like, I don't understand. Because then, you know, at the end of it, they make her leaving it, like, so just obtuse, you know? She's talking to Apollo, and then all of a sudden she's just gone. Like, what? And they throw in all these weird-ass flashbacks that I guess are supposed to explain why people are now doing what they're doing. But, like, they're really disruptive to the flow. Man, that was just a strange season. That last season. And, when I was looking up just trying to figure out about the whole Starbucks thing, I saw people bitching about the whole, you know, you're not supposed to use the Deus Ex Machina kind of thing in an ending like that. But I can give that one a pass because the whole thing's about God and the machine, right?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
That's how they get away with it. They're like, it's not just a guy machine, it's the guy machine. Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean, that's sort of like, in this case, that's that works because that's the point of it, right?
Mm-hmm. It did work. I thought it worked. People ain't going to be happy about nothing.
And, you know, I mean, even given all the my being confused at it and whatnot, I mean, even at its worst, it didn't suck. There was just parts of it that I felt were kind of pointless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it didn't suck. It was still it was an interesting series, and it was a, you know, especially for the time that it came out. I guess, you know, it was weird sci-fi, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very strange. And you know, in that last season too, it was just like they went out of their way to tear apart the characters you liked.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like really turn people into like turn people into like broken shells of themselves.
Pretty depressing show.
And I'm trying to think, like, you know, I was objecting to that, but I don't know. I think I'm objecting to that just from an emotional standpoint, because, you know, if you're on the run for 4 years from a superior force that's trying to hunt you down and kill you, you're probably going to start falling apart, right?
I mean, oh, yeah, that's why I'm waiting for Rick Grimes to just start fucking killing everybody. I'm surprised Rick Grimes hadn't just fucking shot himself.
So, do you still watch that show, Walking Dead?
No, I haven't for years.
Oh, okay. No, I was going to ask you about it if you were, because
why did he shoot himself?
Spoiler alert.
No, I haven't watched it in a long time either. That's what I was saying. If you were watching, I was going to ask you questions. But
man, it would be pretty good if he shot himself, turned into a zombie, ate the rest of the characters that you love,
and then the show just ends.
The rest of the season was just him as a zombie. Like,
I would
seeing the shit he gets up to, just walking around silently with other zombies.
I would honestly watch.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like, I'm almost entirely no dialogue show. That'd be a lot more interesting.
That would be avant-garde, right? I mean,
yeah.
Only if he kills Negan too.
And what if he finds a store full of baguettes?
Oh my gosh!
But he's a zombie now, so there's no point in him eating them.
He does it anyway because he don't give a fuck.
Because he's a crazy zombie. Yeah, so, I mean, are the zombies, like, they're not doing anything, how do I want to put it, like, clever with the zombies, are they? I mean, the zombies aren't, like, getting intelligent or anything?
No.
Well, they can figure out how to beat people up with baguettes.
Oh.
Well, it has never been about being clever.
Well, I just, you know, because there have been a lot of, like, different takes now on zombies, like, regaining humanity or gaining intelligence or whatever, you know. I didn't know if it was doing that.
Do you have to listen to the Walkers?
Say again?
Do you have to listen to their Walkmans, like, both?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And they snap pictures with their cell phones. Oh, but yeah, sorry, back to the email. Thanks for writing.
There's not anymore.
Okay. Well, that's that then. Anybody got stuff in stores this week?
I got a Kickstarter.
Hey, you do have a Kickstarter. You can go find that Kickstarter at godhatesastronauts.com. It'll take you straight to it.
Yeah. Do it. And I don't know, does anyone have any books?
Oh, sketchbooks at C2E2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where's everybody going to be at C2E2? Artist Alley, right? But I mean, like,
you four? There's a handful of us in the U's.
Cool.
In Artist Alley?
I'm at J15.
J15. Well, all right then.
Yeah, man. It's
going to
be great.
Awesome. And, yeah, I know, let's see. Ryan's got stuff that he got printed up in time for C2E2.
Yeah, I've got Trash Bridge issue 1 and preview books of the new God Hates Astronauts Kickstarter. Those are my new things for this show.
Sweet. Mike, yeah. don't you have a new print that you just got done?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that a sketchbook?
Mike is a new sketchbook.
Yeah, both.
Right on. I saw that Jenny's got a new sketchbook in time.
She does every year, I think. Yeah. So that would be cool. Those things are awesome. Print quality is always so good.
So cool. Sorry, I'm scrolling through the list of things out to see if there's anything in stores this week. For the people that can't make it to a con. And there's all kinds of stuff, but nothing I recognize. I mean, not that I recognize, but whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Curse Words 13 comes out in next week, I think.
Sweet.
Next week. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Good one.
Well, all right then.
Okay.
I guess we're done for this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. Go check out Ryan's stuff at godhatesastronauts.com. I don't know. I can't remember anybody else's. So, yeah.
AddisonDuke.com.
AddisonDuke.com.
JonathanLamantia.com.
JonathanLamancia.com. All right, then. See y'all next week. Have a good show at C2E2.
Thanks. We'll miss you, Crane.
Thank you.
For your sake. Get well soon.
Yeah, not soon enough. All right. Goodbye.